Explain gardening for the Gulf Coast with Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome back. Gulf Coast Sunday mornings. Gulf Coast Sunday mornings can be really nice, and particularly this time of year. It's going to be a nice, pretty day. Let me just alert you to something real quick from your perspective in your yard. It isn't raining. And when it doesn't rain this time of year and temperatures get into the high 80s, which they're going to do today and tomorrow, things dry out pretty quick, particularly because you find it very pleasant. You find it pleasant because the humidity's low and things are drying out. Things are drying out. So watch your garden. This is one of those times of year, I'm just telling you, one of those times of year when people begin to lose things like grasses and shrubs that they recently planted and other things. Because the dryness sneaks up on them. Let's hope we get a little bit of rain here in the next couple of days. I think some is maybe slated to come in Monday or Tuesday. But there's no guarantee. So watch your plants. Watch for things. Watch for the leaves of those grasses to begin folding up. You know, they have a little seam down the middle when they begin to fold up. It's a good sign that they need some water. They don't have to be watered every day. They just need one good watering. That's all it'll take. You probably won't need to water them again through the end of the year if you water them now. But just watch those plants and watch those grasses. Hey, it is coming up on some great planting weather. One of my favorite times of year for planting. We forget, we have this language that we brought from other places. And one of the words we brought from other places is fall. The word fall. You know, if we had brought the word full, full is what we should have called this season. It is the season of fullness. It is when everything is in bloom. It's when your skillet greens from winter are converging with the summer fruits that are still left over. It's just this great time of year. It's a season of fullness, but we call it fall because, well, we steal our words. We're not very inventive when it comes to words. So we steal our words from other places who really don't understand what this Gulf Coast season is like, this season of fullness. And it's really nice. It's a season of relief because the heat generally subsides, the humidity subsides, rain becomes less intense. It's really a beautiful, wonderful season that lasts and lasts and lasts and lasts. This season we call full. It's a really great season. And this full season, the season of fullness that we're entering right now, is one of the best times for planting lawns, for planting shrubs, trees, perennials, a vegetable garden. All of these things are really great right now. So you want to take advantage of that. I can't, you know, it's going to be hard to shake this out of your head because you still believe that we live in Michigan or England or somewhere else, but we live in Mobile and spring is not the best time for planting. I just said it out loud. I hope you heard me. Spring is not the best time for planting on the Gulf Coast. It's a bad time for planting most things. It's a terrible time for planting grass. And, no matter what your definition of spring is, and it's probably a pretty weird one compared to what the seasons actually are, spring is a terrible time for planting. Fall is the great time. Fall is the great time for planting. It's the time when if you had the plants available, you could do more things. Now, there are some things I wouldn't do this time of year. I'm just going to get those out of the way. There's some citrus I wouldn't plant this time of year. I'd wait until spring on those. But a few tropical plants that I wouldn't plant this time of year. But almost everything else you're going to be planting in the garden, this is the time to do it. It's the time I wish people would call me and ask me about lawns this time of year, because planting lawns, this is the great time to do it. It's so much easier this time of year, and I hope we'll be talking about that soon. Shrubs and trees. This is why the Mobile Botanical Gardens has a plant sale in fall. They have a big one in spring, and it's because that's the way people are. They're stuck on this idea that this weird idea of spring planting, because they all believe we live somewhere we don't. But the great time for planting here is fall. The plants that are at the Mobile Botanical Gardens plant sale next week are going to be big, they're going to be beautiful, and they're going to come in just the perfect time for you to plant in your yard. This starts next week, Friday of next week, the 19th, and goes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I've looked at the plant supply. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's a really nice time for most of you. Everything that you could think of that you might want in your garden, it's going to be available there at the Mobile Botanical Gardens plant sale. Give us a call if you have any questions about how that works. It's very easy. There's between 9 and 10 or 8 and 9 or somewhere in there. Nita can call me and tell me exactly what the hours are. On Friday, they have a special little thing for members of the Botanical Gardens. But after that, from 10 o'clock on throughout the day, it's all open. It's all free. All you have to do is go and find the plant you want, buy it, and walk out with it. The prices are always great. They're really great. And the selection is really unrivaled. You can't get that kind of selection anywhere else. So check that out. If you've got questions about it, feel free to call. Hey, I wanted to say one other thing to get us started today. Just look at these pictures with me. You know, we're looking at these pictures and our jaws are kind of dropping. You know what I'm talking about. Mexico Beach. Panama City. Look at those pictures and let your jaws drop. They should. We're going to have hurricanes like that. All of us, in the areas where we live here along the Gulf Coast. They're part of our lives. They're part of something we have to prepare for. I want to point out a few really important things, because we can learn to live with these hurricanes and live well if we pay close attention. Pay close attention. And here's what I want us to look for in those photographs. Here's what I'm seeing, and in those videos, when you look at the first row of houses coming up off the ocean, 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 houses deep, what was so astonishing was it doesn't look like anything's wrong because there's nothing there. You can't take pictures of what's not there. And so it's very deceptive, but the first 6 to 7 rows of houses are gone. They're just flat gone. There's nothing. And that storm surge, folks, it's really bad. It's really serious. It's almost impossible to prepare for. You can't get out of the storm surge areas. Don't put your life in danger. Don't put your heritage, your family's pictures, the keepsakes that you have, your furniture, your house. Don't put it in the surge zone. But let's go beyond the surge zone. Let's look just beyond that. Because once you get into the interior, there was a lot of damage. And some of it was from straight line winds. And some of it was because of poor construction. A lot of it was because of poor construction. And we need to think about that, because we're not good at enforcing really strict construction codes here in Alabama. But a huge percentage of it, and I'm going to say, every time I look at this, it strikes me, a huge percentage of it, I'm going to say 70% of it, is about trees falling. Trees falling. And there are ways to prevent this, because not every tree fell. Not every tree fell. And It is very interesting. So we've got a lot. I got a lot of observations on trees today, and how different trees performed. Been talking to folks about how, for example, pines performed, which is a very interesting story. I can tell you that there is one tree that I guarantee you survived nearly every situation. Unbelievably good at it. And you'll see it in all the pictures, the palms. And what's really striking is there are no other trees in some of those pictures except for the palms. And there may be a lesson in that too. But let's talk about a little bit more about trees today. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back, because one of the best preparations you can do for the next hurricane is to think about your trees. Hey, we're going to be back. We're going to be thinking about this plant sale. We're going to be thinking about fall. We're going to be thinking about how to prepare for the next cane. I decline, I ain't going to pick no peas. Because everything is on the phone, you know you got to go. I'll get down on your bending knee.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Rain, rain on my face. Hasn't stopped raining for days.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Lots to talk about this morning. Greg has sent us some great pictures. Thanks, Greg, for those beautiful pictures. Greg's been spending a lot of time, I guess, in his kayak and getting out to not just fishing but actually exploring. And he has discovered Blakely Park, a really beautiful place. Something, you know, I think a lot of people don't know about it, Greg. It's really beautiful. You should check out Greg's pictures of it. Blakely Historic Park, it's actually owned by a trust. The state, being the state, has not seen fit to supply any money for that park in a long time. It struggles, but boy, they've done a great job with what they have. The Blakely Historic Park, and Greg has got some great pictures there. Greg, do you know what that little pink thing was that came out of the ground? Do you have a name for that? Indian pipe. Indian pipe's one of the old names. Some people called it ghost plant, and it's a very particular kind of flower. It looks almost like you might think it's a kind of a weird mushroom, but it's more elaborate than a mushroom. It actually looks like a flower coming out of the ground that's ghostly white, or sometimes pink, oftentimes pink, like some kind of pink porcelain. Really beautiful thing, no green on it whatsoever, but it's really a plant. It's a plant that lives off of the energy of things in the ground, and it's associated with certain types of things like beech trees and oak trees, but it lives off of fungi in the ground. It's not a fungus, but it's a plant that lives off of that gets its energy from things under the ground. It's actually, amazingly, if you look at Greg's pictures, and if we'll be posting those on our Flickr site, it is this beautiful ghostly porcelain plant, and you would never guess that it is actually related to azaleas and blueberries. It's very closely related to azaleas and blueberries. Isn't that weird? So it looks like an orchid, and in fact, there's some types of plants that are similar, Greg, that are orchids, but this one is actually related to blueberries and rhododendrons and azaleas and all of that group of ericaceous plants. Very, very odd little, beautiful little plant, and some great pictures of Blakely. A really great time to take a look at that. Hey, Charlie, you say we have a caller. Who's on? Hello.
Yeah, we have Thomas on the line there, Bill.
Thomas, I'm listening.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Yeah, a couple of things. You were talking about it being a time of year where you have to watch your plants from dying out like that. And I remember from my studies, the term evapotranspiration. Now, is that when the plant, the leaves, they sweat and they fold up because of the air not circulating around them?
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, yes. And so transpiration, transpiration is another way of saying plant sweat.
So okay,
it's transpiration is in a sense the plants pulling up water and using it and then essentially turning it into moisture and gas around the plant. So it's part of the breathing process. If there are two things that happen when there are two things that happen to get rid of moisture in the environment. One is evaporation. So it's straight evaporation that occurs because the air is dry and because the day is hot. And so water from the ground is evaporated into the air. Transpiration is about really breathing. It's about plant breathing. And it's about the water being sucked up by the plant and then being lost through the leaves during the day. This happens all the time. So at this time of year, evapotranspiration, both of those things at once, are occurring pretty dramatically because the air is drier and because the days are still hot sometimes. And so when those two things occur, plants lose, there's a lot of water lost out of the environment, more than usual. The cool night temperatures are helping. They're helping a lot. But we still have hot days, and it's you can lose some plants this time of year.
Well, thank you very much. It flashed by when you were talking about that, and I just wanted to get a Webster's dictionary's definition. But hey, Bill, you were talking about the poor folks with this hurricane.
You still there?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, and I was. And your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm just thinking we've got to stop building in those areas. How can we possibly expect the government and FEMA to keep rebuilding and the cities to reinvesting in infrastructure and water and electric and power in these areas, and it's only going to get worse? You have seen that latest study coming out with the pollution in the air that I talk about, and they said, well, we're going to be in dire straits here unless we stop burning these fossil fuels.
Yeah, you know, one thing I say, and I don't know if we think about this, but sea level has been rising, and it's been going on for quite a while. It accelerated, we think, during the 19th century. But what we know for sure, because we've got very good measure, we're very good at measuring, and we've got great measuring, is that sea level around Mobile and along the Florida Panhandle and in it rose on average about a foot, nearly a foot. Now, that makes a huge difference when you start looking at how far a foot, an extra foot of water every day, average day, rises on the land. So in a sense, we've made it easier for hurricanes to create problems for these things. Right now, that sea level is continuing to rise at a very fast rate compared to what it was 100 years ago. So we're measuring that. We hope it's a blip. We can pretend it's a blip. We can sure hope it's a blip, but I'll guarantee you it's rising. We know it's rising. So one of the interesting problems is we've multiplied the ability of hurricanes to affect us, not only because the water in the Gulf of Mexico is now much warmer than it was 100 years ago on average. That's something else we can measure, which makes it easier for hurricanes to develop into high-intensity things. It doesn't necessarily mean there are more, but it means that every tropical storm that forms has a much higher ability to become more intense. But we've actually increased the sea level, which in a very real way brings these hurricanes closer to us. So it's something we're going to have to live with. We're going to have to think about. Even if we were to manage to stop the climate from continuing to warm, the fact of the matter is we are going to have to learn to live with these hurricanes. And I think it is going to be very hard to build a house And to continue to spend the amount of money we're doing.
And live under the ground.
Live under the ground. And, you know, the problem with living under the ground is that you get flooded out.
I always learn something. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So it is an interesting problem. Hey, let's listen. One of the interesting things, after Katrina, I remembered Camille, and I thought, you know, people will never put themselves in this position again. because I remembered Camille so intimately growing up. And yet I went back at Katrina, and I went back in because, with a special team 2 days after Katrina. Two or three days after Katrina, it was a special engineering team to come in and look at the damage to try to figure out what happened. And one of the striking things was I went along the coast and I was looking at these areas and I'd say, gosh, I don't see any damage. And then I realized I didn't see anything. I mean, you know, you get to Long Beach, there's nothing. There was nothing. And I said, I don't see any damage to any trees. And then you realize there are no trees. And then you see these big holes in the landscape where the live oaks were lifted, giant live oaks were lifted out of the ground and carried a quarter mile inland. And the only thing that stopped them was the railroad tracks. Amazing damage that can occur. Amazing damage that can occur. So that first line, oh man, that is such a dangerous place to build. It is so dangerous. Just be very careful. But inland, you know, it is, if you have houses in Mobile, if you have houses in Foley, if you have houses in Spanish Fort and Daphne and Fairhope and Pensacola, the issue there is mostly going to be about how do you manage tree damage. How do you use trees to buffer the areas from the winds? Because it's clear that the trees actually buffer wind. They actually prevent the wind from getting to your house. But how do you manage those trees? Let's talk a little bit more about that when we come back.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. It's just sort of insert this a few points in our talks today. I want to remind everybody that the Big Botanical Gardens plant sale, the fall plant sale, which to me is the most important sale of the year because it's the time when you're going to have the most success. I can't tell you how many people call me and say, gosh, you know, I tried doing some things. I planted these things that you planted and they died on me in April and May. And I thought I did everything right. I planted in spring just like I'm supposed to. And I say, no, don't plant in spring. Don't plant your lawn in spring. If you can avoid it, don't plant other shrubs in spring because we always have a drought in April and May. It always has, and the heat gets warm really quick. We will continue to have spring plant sales. I will continue to buy plants in spring because that's when they're available. That's when people do it. But man, fall is such an easy time to plant. You don't have to, if you forget to water, you'll have to water them in, which you'll remember to do because you're planting them. You're going to be right there by the hose. You're going to water them in real good, and that's good. And then you'll remember next week, you say, I might go and water that plant. So you'll water it a couple or three times, and that's what you do in spring. And then you'll forget about that plant. And that's okay if you do it in fall. Because the great thing is that by November, by mid-November and late November, those winter rains come, the transpiration that we talked about, the breathing, plants breathing moisture into the air and taking it out of the ground, and evaporation, they both declined. Evapotranspiration has declined dramatically because the plants aren't the plants aren't breathing hard anymore. They've slowed down. The trees have slowed down, and evaporation has slowed down because temperatures are so cool. So one of the great things that happens is you don't have to water after late November. Those plants are going to survive on natural rainfall alone, and that's about the time, about a month after you plant, is when you start forgetting to water. So it's really a great time to think about planting. The Mobile Botanical Gardens plant sale is coming up next weekend. What a great time to rethink your yard, to redo your yard. There's a lot of great plants there. If you have questions about what you can do in various places in your yard, will you give me a call? And we'll figure it out. We'll think about it. And we're also going to come back and talk a little bit more about trees and their effects in hurricanes. Hey, George, I'm listening. What's up?
Well, good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
Listen, I understand this tap water we got from Mobile. Will this kill our grass, our flowers? I understand they did not pass the drinking water test. Concerned, I wanted to ask you, have you ever used Root Tone? I've had great success with that. Just taking cuttings off of different things, like the old oak leaf hydrangea.
Sure.
That amazes me how well it works. I don't know where you can buy it now. But that stuff is really good stuff, and I'm talking about just no roots, period. Dip it in, stick it in the ground, particularly on the oak leaf hydrangeas. Listen, you've been to Baltimore Park, hadn't you?
Yes.
Monroe Park?
Sure, absolutely.
What I thought, you know, Oakdale boy, probably even went to the Roosevelt Theater when you were young.
Well, you know, of course, Monroe Park is now unfortunately gone. I'm not an old Oakdale boy, though I grew up in Mobile. I think Oakdale was largely gone by the time I was growing up, but it had already been taken over by Brooklyn and by the state docks and other parties. But Monroe Park, of course, is now sitting under the big cranes at the state docks.
That's right. State docks, I think, occupies or has some kind of title, a lien on all that property all the way to Brooklyn Field.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I could be wrong. I'm usually wrong most of the time. My memory's failing me.
George, let's go back for I forget all of your questions because you had some good ones. The thing about Rutone is a good product to use. I actually can strike a lot of cuttings. There are a lot of cuttings like azaleas and other things that I don't even use Rutone on, and you can usually get roots from evergreen azaleas. So, but if you need a good rooting product, Rutone is very safe and very good. It's very easy for the average person to use, and it can make a lot of difference if you're trying to root plants. Hey, George, what was the first thing you asked me? Because now it's all dropped out of my head. You got me thinking about Monroe Park. What was the first thing you asked me?
I was really kind of joking about the Mobile Water Service failing the drinking water test for Mobile. And I was asking you, will this kill our grass and our trees, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, of course not. And of course, you were joking. But, you know, I've got to look. I haven't looked to see how, in what way they failed it. I'll look at it. One of the big problems, and we predicted this a long time ago, the more development that occurs around Big Creek Lake, the more there's development around Big Creek Lake, and the more the highway department decided they were going to build a big road out there, all of that runoff, all of that impact affects the quality of the water, and that means they have to treat it more. And when they treat it more, it creates these byproducts that are dangerous for people. And it's just, it's a catch 22. And the only way to avoid it is to keep the area around Big Creek Lake free from development and free from runoff and free from the stuff that's coming from people's lawns and those kinds of things. You don't want to drink what comes from people's lawns. So I'm less concerned about whether the lawn survived than I am worried about what's coming off of lawns and going into Big Creek Lake now. And the more we build out there, the worse that problem is going to be. And the more we're likely to fail and the more expensive it's going to be to treat that water, which is going to raise our water rates. So it's worth thinking about. I'll take a close look at how we failed. And my suspicion is that it's probably the carcinogenic, the cancer causing byproducts of treatment, that are the problem. But we'll take a look, and see what the issue is. I'm glad you alerted me to that. I had not been paying attention and I missed that. George, thank you. You there anymore? So George is, well, those were some really good points from George about what was going on with that water bill. I'm going to take a look at that and kind of see what the issue is. You know, the water that comes from our taps is pretty clean generally. It's a very good quality water. It is coming from Big Creek Lake. You may not know where our water comes from. It comes from Big Creek Lake out in West Mobile. It seemed when they built Big Creek Lake, it was out in the middle of this longleaf forest. And the longleaf sort of served as a reservoir for water, this big, huge longleaf forest that surrounded it, these longleaf pines. And the water would sink into the sand and get filtered by the sand and then come into this creek, and it was really a great system for getting water. But the problem is, of course, is that we have decided we have to build in the country. We have to build out away from the city for whatever reason, and we built around Big Creek Lake, and we're fouling our own nests. I mean, it's just amazing. And so we're all supplied. Increasingly, a lot of us are supplied by Big Creek Lake water, but there's now increasing development, and the highway department decided they were going to build a road right through the middle of the city's water supply. Crazy thing. We raised questions about that. Of course, everyone sort of ignored it, and the state went ahead and did what it wanted to do. And still, I don't think they finished that road, but the damage was done in a lot of different ways. And so it's, but, you know, it's something we really need to think about is losing our water supply, a big issue. Hey, let me come back to trees. Charlie, we don't have any callers right now, right?
Yeah, right.
Yep. So let me come back to the tree issue. With our hurricanes and something to think about. And you tell me your observations, because I've been asking people to think about it. What trees did survive and how did they survive? You know, the fact of the matter is that I saw damage from oaks. I saw damage from pines. I saw damage from lots of different kinds of trees around houses. In most cases, you could look and see that not in every case, but in most cases, you could see these trees were made more dangerous because of things people did around those trees. If you put in a driveway next to a tree or a sidewalk next to a tree, one of the things that happens is you cut off the roots on that side. And so the tree doesn't fall towards the driveway. It doesn't fall towards the sidewalk. It falls towards your house. It falls opposite from the place where you did the damage to those roots. We saw that, and a lot of people have been seeing that. And we're looking at it in Midtown Mobile, and I keep stressing that things have gotten so bad on trees in Midtown that we don't need a tropical storm. These trees are falling in the middle of the day on a perfectly calm day. And they're falling for a lot of very interesting and very good reasons. There's a lot of, you know, there's this crazy ideas out there that it's only that it's pine trees doing it. Well, you know, in the areas where I'm looking in Panama City, it was mostly pine trees. So if trees were going to fall, they were going to be pine trees. But we're seeing a lot of difference, and I think we're already detecting that there's a lot of difference in how different types of pines perform. And so pines that have problems, pines that have, like loblolly pines. Loblolly pines are a big problem. Longleaf has been very interesting, and I talked to a big landowner who had longleaf just north of this hurricane zone, and he should have been just wiped out. And in fact, there are plantations of loblolly pine all around him, and we've seen those pictures, and it's just slash pine in plantations, and we've seen these pictures, and these trees are just laid flat. His longleaf forest is absolutely beautiful, and he's right in the middle of it, right near Albany, just south of Albany. Incredible, where there was incredible damage from trees falling, and his in his longleaf forest, which was very open, just did surprisingly well, astonishingly well. So we should talk a little bit more about trees now. Let's use this occasion to think about our own yards and to think about whether they're safe and to ask good questions about trees. If you've got questions about trees, you give me a call. 251-343-0106.
Me and my best friend Lillian and her blue tick hound dog Gideon, sitting on the front porch, cooling in the shed, singing every song the radio played, waiting for the Alabama sun to go down to red dirt girls in a red dirt town. Me and Lillian.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. You know, let me insert here, we got the Mobile Botanical Gardens plant sale coming up next week. Big sale, lots of things on sale. It's the biggest sale, really, on the Gulf Coast. Biggest concentration of plants you'll ever encounter on the Gulf Coast. Really great thing. But the Weeks Bay plant sale is today over in Weeks Bay. I don't know a lot about what's available at the sale or what's going on there or the times. But if anybody who knows anything about that sale can call in and tell us about it, happy to report that. They tend to focus at Weeks Bay on some native plants, and that's good. Plants that are native to Alabama doesn't include generally things like azaleas and camellias, but I'm not sure what they're doing this year. So if anybody's got any information about that, be sure to give me a call this morning in our next hour, and we can talk a little bit more about that. Thanks, Taxman, for letting me know about that. Didn't know that. I got a caller here. Charlie, is that right? We got a caller? Charlie, have we got a caller?
He's there.
Yeah, I'm listening. What's up?
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I long considered you the only literate that worked at the Press Register, and I kept a lot of the articles you wrote for them. And years ago, after some particularly nasty hurricane, you wrote an article or a series of articles with an A list of trees and a B list and a C list. And of course, I kept a copy of it, but equally reliably, I can't find it now. Is there some place we could find that list, or do you want to talk about that some? Or
you know, I don't know. The archives of the Press Register have gotten to be such a mess that I don't even know if anybody could find it. I mean, when AL.com took over, I have trouble accessing my own copy from that time period. But I could tell you off the top of my head, real quickly. Some of the trees that we find that are doing very, very well, if you've got a house and you want something close to the house, think about palms. Think about small trees and palms. Don't think about large trees immediately next to the house. In fact, within 25 feet of the house, in general, I would just say don't plant large trees. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Even if they're good, strong, firm trees, we do so much damage immediately around our houses. We do damage to the roots. We create problems for the roots. And that weakens even the best of trees. So I would say within 25 feet of your house, and just as an important point of discussion, generally use smaller trees or use palms or bamboo, which is actually clumping bamboo is one of those things. And that actually deals with most of the issues that you have immediately around your house where trees could be beneficial. You need trees on the east and west sides to block sun for windows. So I'd have to start there. But let me also say that the tree that will never, that our native palmettos, the native palmetto cabbage palms, they survive everything. I mean, they are absolutely amazing. I'm not saying that there won't be one or two that are lost here and there, but they don't do damage. That's really important. And two, they survive almost anything. That is in a category all by itself. And so you can always feel safe about using our native cabbage palms. Which are beautiful trees to me and quite common in downtown Mobile. The second tier are things like bald cypress, which sometimes will get topped out, but never, I have never seen a bald cypress go over from the roots. I have never seen a bald cypress do any damage. They're amazingly good. Live oaks are also amazingly good. They're in that sort of that second tier. Amazingly good plants, unless you let the limbs get too long. And so they need a little bit of pruning here and there. And as long as there's no rot in the trunk, they're going to be very good. They generally survive most hurricanes as long as the limb structure, as long as you keep those limbs from getting too big. They're pretty good. They're very good. Magnolias, as it turns out, are very good in storms, and they may fall at other times from rot and other issues, but as long as you've got a healthy magnolia, a big evergreen magnolia, they have a form that is very good. I would put with that category things like spruce pine, which is a really good pine that has survived hurricanes very well in many places. Because it tends to have a narrow form and doesn't really catch a lot of wind. So all of those are pretty good. You know, white oaks can do pretty good. They're very good, and they don't tend to get rot. And then I have there's the F list, which is easier to start with. So let me start with the F list. Water oaks cause a tremendous amount of damage during hurricanes. I mean, probably more than any other tree. And this is that happens for a lot of reasons. They're just very prone to rot. They have no immune system. They spend 25 years growing and 25 years dying. And they're weedy. They come in lots of places, but I think they cause more damage than just about any other tree. Laurel oaks can be just about as bad. There are a couple of kinds of laurel oaks, but just in general, laurel oaks are pretty bad. Loblolly pines can be pretty bad too. That's because they tend to have a lot of defects and a lot of diseases and a fairly poor root system. They tend to like ideal conditions. And so I don't think they perform very well either. So there's some trees down in that F category. Bradford pears just get torn up even by slight winds, and that's because they have a terrible limb structure. They don't do a lot of damage because they're not very big. The limbs aren't very big, but they get torn up badly. Red maples are in the D or F category. Red maples get torn up really easily by the storms. We don't see as many of those. But I would say if we just address the water oaks and laurel oaks, that would be a good start. We would be at a really good position come the next hurricane because they're so incredibly likely to cause damage during storms. Does that help?
He's gone.
Yeah. So there it is. It's interesting to sort of look at trees. You know, there are a whole lot of trees in between. They perform, some perform better than others. I think we don't have enough information yet to talk about how really well each of them perform. I'm always surprised to see. I think in general, a lot of these trees that are in the in-between category, if they're healthy, they do fairly well. Sycamores, I worry about. I've never seen a sycamore that hasn't been topped out, and sycamores can develop very heavy limbs, so I kind of worry about the kind of damage they would do. I love sycamores. I don't think I'd plant it within 50 feet of the house. There's that. They're beautiful trees, but I wouldn't plant them within 50 feet of the house. Sweet gums, I think they can do very well. Oaks are very interesting. I think white oaks and trees in the white oak groups, like swamp chestnut oak, there's a bunch of trees in that white oak group. I think they can do very, very, very well. And red oaks are going to do generally less well, but the red oaks like Schumard oak and Southern Red are not as bad as some of the others. Hey, we're going to be back. We're going to talk a little bit more about these trees. We're going to talk a little bit more about your yard. We're going to talk a little bit more about plant sales. Give us a call. We're going to be back in this next hour right after the news.